Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound, 1,000 years will have no tempter then. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. Amen.
God bless you all this morning. Amen. We'll turn this on there. We're good? Okay, great. It's good to be here in New Jersey this morning. I thought I was in Louisiana when I got out of the car. My wife, Jennifer, is from Louisiana, and Patrick and her went for a visit after he was out of school for a couple weeks. They just got into Harrisburg late last night, and so I'm glad to have him back. Like they say, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Well, I missed my wife, and I missed my son. So how many love your family?
Amen.
Amen. Yes. And that's our desire. We want to draw closer to the Lord, and we want to draw closer to one another, but most of all, we want to draw closer to Him. If we draw closer to Him, we're going to be more of a blessing to one another. Because that's the best thermometer, is your relationship horizontally is a good indicator of your relationship vertically. Amen. With the Lord Jesus. So let's remain standing this morning. This is a real privilege for me. I'm just a little guy. I am standing up, okay? A little guy, and I'm not some great preacher, and I'm sure you all enjoy hearing your pastor, Brother John. Amen. And that's big shoes to fill, I'm sure. How many love your pastor?
Amen.
God bless you. That's a wonderful thing. If you can have confidence in him, then he can help you. But if you don't have respect and confidence in him, he can't help you. So I think it's important.
Amen.
That we show proper respects to your pastor.
Amen.
And to one another, you know, because we should respect all our brothers and sisters in the Lord. So let's take our Bibles this morning. And I'm no, like I said, no great person or anything. And you know, the ground is level at Calvary. God is no respecter of persons.
Amen.
So I make a lot of mistakes, but, you know, like Brother Branham said when he gave his testimony on Life Story, he said, I trust that my mistakes will be a stepping stone for you. And that's my prayer. You know, I'm kind of preaching to myself this morning, a little thought I have. We're going to talk on inspiration. And maybe in the form of a question, ask ourselves, what inspires you? So what inspires you to do the things that you do, to act the way you act, to wear what you wear, to talk the way you do? And so we need to discern those things in our life. So let's turn to a very familiar scripture over in 2 Timothy. This is the Apostle Paul. And how many knows the Apostle Paul was the messenger.
Amen.
To the first church age, which was Ephesus, right? And Paul wrote many of the New Testament. Many of the books, the epistles there and things besides the Gospels, and what John wrote and what Peter wrote and James and Jude, and but he wrote just about everything else to the different churches. So 2 Timothy 3, okay, and we're going to read two verses there, 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. We'll wait till everybody has it. Okay. Everybody has it. All scripture is given by inspiration. I'll tell you what, let's read it all together in unison. Are you with me? Okay. 2 Timothy 3, 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. And let's turn over to the Old Testament. The oldest book in the Bible. Does anybody know the oldest book in the Bible? Job. Amen. You guys are Bible scholars. Okay. Well, we know that's good to know our Bible, but it's more important to know the author.
Amen.
Amen. So chapter 32 and the 8th verse there. Job 32, we're just going to read one verse. Job 32, verse 8. Why don't we read that together as well? Job 32 and verse 8. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding.
Amen.
Amen. Let's just bow our hearts and ask the Lord to bless this word to us this morning. If you have a need, just raise your hand to Him. Heavenly Father, we just come before You this morning with grateful hearts, realizing that our frame, we are but dust, and we're so fallible. We make so many mistakes, Lord, but we're looking to You, the author and finisher of our faith. You cannot fail. And so we're putting our trust completely in You, Lord Jesus. We ask You to come by Your Holy Spirit and speak to our hearts. Lord, make us more like You. That's our desire this morning, is to be better Christians, better sons and daughters for You. I pray You'll bless Your people. Each hand that's raised, Lord, You know the motive for their raising their hand. May it be pure before You, Lord. We ask You to meet our needs now. We ask You to be with their pastor, Brother John, in Europe. Lord, bless him if he's ministering this morning or wherever he's at. Lord, make him a blessing there, and his wife and his family. I pray You'll bless His people here in the States, in New Jersey, here this morning, Lord. May we be lifted up into heavenly places. May we take inventory of our lives so we might just cut away the evil things that are on us, Lord. We want to unpack those things and just lay them at Your cross and ask for Your blood to cover us this morning, Father. We ask that You'll have Your way in this service now, Lord. We just commit ourselves into Your hands, Father. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. So, what inspires you? In the form of a question, what inspires you? And we read in Timothy there that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And in Job, and I'm so thankful for the inspiration of the Almighty and how it gives us understanding. And a couple weeks ago, my wife and I were talking, and in the news, these celebrities and things that were committing suicide. And it's a horrible thing, because to take your life. And how sad and just pitiful it was that they had no hope. And they seemed like, by the world standards of success, the world standards, that they had everything. But yet they didn't have the true meaning of life. And they felt in such despair that they took their own life. And I thought to myself, what inspired them to do that? What inspired them to do that? And the devil, he'll try to make us depressed. He'll try to get us down. He'll try to beat us. And I appreciated what Brother Tim was saying, the song you sang about a battle. We're not on a picnic.
Amen.
We are in a battle.
Amen.
So we're here this morning to tighten up the armor.
Amen.
To take on the enemy. And we can't do it ourselves. But it's greater is He that's within us than he that's in the world.
Yeah.
Amen. So may the Lord help us. But these people were inspired by evil spirits. And then you saw one commit suicide, and then these evil spirits scream out to another one. And how many ever heard Brother Branham discerning the spirits at the end of the service when he was calling out people and saying, you have this disease? And he said, I just see a black streak come over here. Those demons screaming out to each other. You know, and then, you know, one kills himself, another one kills himself. And these demons are crying and screaming out to one another and inspiring somebody else to take their life. You know, and that's why it's so important, us as a father, as a mother, to be careful what we allow our children to take in.
Amen.
To their minds. Because what is the gate to the soul?
Amen.
Right here. Yes. Comes down. And then what comes out of the heart, what's in the heart comes out. So it's important that we discern the spirits. And, you know, how many believe Satan can inspire?
Amen.
Certainly he can.
Yes, he can.
How many believe God can inspire?
Amen.
Amen. So we have these two great forces, and we need to ask ourselves when we do something, what inspired me to do that? What inspires me? And we look up the word definition of inspire. It means to fill someone with the urge or ability to do or feel something, especially to do something creative, something inspirational, or to create a feeling, especially a positive one, in a person. So that's what inspire means. And one thing that got me on this subject is my son. He came home from, don't want to pick on him this morning, but you know, he came home from school. He kept saying something. And my wife said, "Why are you saying that?" And then he'd laugh. And I said, "You know, Patrick, I don't know, but we don't watch Hollywood movies and stuff, but I wouldn't doubt that's on a movie or something." So this went on a little bit. We looked it up, and we were floored what it meant. It was inspired by some movie, some Hollywood-inspired demon, and it had a really bad meaning. Now, when you said it, it didn't, but everybody else in the world was saying it. So we need to be careful what we say, because people might think I identify with that. I don't want anything to do with Hollywood.
Amen.
Amen. So what inspires us? Now, you might think I'm a legalist. Brother Branham said he was a legalist. He said, "I'm an Armenian, as long as it's in the Bible."
Amen.
And you know, Brother Branham talked about the Armenian. They talked works, works, works. And the Calvinists talk grace, grace, grace over here. You know, and he struck the perfect balance, because he preached that sermon, "Faith is works expressed." Right there, the title says it. Faith, our faith shows how much we love God.
Amen.
And we're not trying to work our salvation. No,
yes,
it's a free gift.
Amen.
It's a free gift. So I'm a Calvinist as long as it's in the Bible, and I'm an Armenian as long as it's in the Bible.
Amen.
But if you go to seed on either one of those doctrines, you grow out on a limb and you fall off.
Yes,
some people have the hobby horse doctrines. You ever hear of hobby horse doctrines? Yeah. You get on a hobby horse, you sit there and rock. You never progress. You're sitting in the same spot because all you see is, you know, this thing right here. But take all the word. Take all the message. Take all what the Lord said.
Amen.
Amen. So may the Lord help us. But what inspires you? What is its source? Where does your inspiration come from? It's important that we try the spirits. Let's turn over to 1 John 4. First John, that's before Revelations there. 1 John, the 4th chapter, and the first verse, this is John. This is the only apostle that didn't die other than by natural causes.
Amen.
All of them gave their life except John. They tried to kill him. They tried to boil him. They did all kinds of stuff. He was on the Isle of Patmos. That's when he wrote Revelations.
Amen.
He's the only one, though, that died of natural causes. And he says here in the 4th chapter, the first verse, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Many false prophets are gone out into the world." So it's important as believers that we try the spirits and try them to realize what is inspiring us, because we don't want anything to do with the devil. We don't want him inspiring us. Amen. And we got these great forces. Either we're inspired by God or we're inspired by Satan. We're inspired by good or we're inspired by evil. We're inspired by the Holy Spirit or an unholy spirit. Amen. And you look back, all the way back in the beginning in Genesis. You had two brothers, right? Who were the two first brothers in the Bible?
Cain
and Abel, right? One, the seed of the serpent. Other one, the seed of Adam. And how did Abel know to have a correct sacrifice? I believe he was inspired. The prophet of God said he was inspired. He knew to offer the right kind of sacrifice. He was inspired by God, and he went and got a lamb by inspiration and sacrificed it. Now, I'm so thankful that the Lamb of God came.
Amen.
The supreme sacrifice, and the veil was rent in two from the top to the bottom. We don't need to take the blood of an animal and sacrifice it and have an offering good for us for a year. No, this is for eternity. Amen. So I want to accept that sacrifice, because a pardon is not a pardon unless it's accepted as a pardon. So we have Cain and Abel here, and Cain was inspired by his father, Satan, the serpent. And we know serpent seed and everything. And here's what Brother Branham said on the message, the faith of Abraham's. He said, you know, that's the nature of Satan. I'm a way away from my text, but my subject. But in the garden, look, when the two children was there, both Cain and Abel, trying to find favor with God, both of those boys built an altar. Both of them made a sacrifice. Both worshipped. If going to church, belonging to church, being religious, make a sacrifice, prayer, if that's all God requires, he'd be unjust to condemn Cain, right? But you see, Cain had it all pretty with lilies of the field and everything all over his altar. It don't have to have lilies on the altar. It's souls on the altar God wants. See? And Abel didn't have much pretty. You see, Cain come from his who he was inspired by, his daddy, Satan, which we know he was inspired by Satan. He was the first murderer, the first liar. He killed his brother, Judas Iscariot, in a prefigure exactly. As Judas killed Jesus at the cross, Cain killed Abel at the cross of sacrifice perfectly. So Satan inspired his son, Cain. And you know, it makes me think, after he had killed his brother, Abel, the Lord came to him and said, "Hey, where's your brother?" What did he say to God? Same spirit we got today. People are so self-absorbed with themselves. They don't care about anybody else. Only numero uno. That's all that matters. Who's your biggest enemy? The prophet taught us. It is yourself. Stephen is my biggest enemy. He gets in the way all the time. Self-absorbed. But what did Cain say back? He said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" That's what he said, inspired by Satan. We should be saying, "I will be my brother's keeper."
Amen.
Brother Tim was saying how one person, one musician or something, has an effect. You think your life don't have an impact on somebody else?
Yes, it does.
Oh, yes, it does.
Amen.
Your life is speaking. You know, and I like to tell my son, you know, because he knows what kind of Christian I am. My wife knows what kind of Christian I am. And your wife and your spouse and your family, they know what kind of Christian you are. Right? I'm preaching at myself. They know, but values are caught. They're not taught. They're caught by the actions that you perform on a daily basis in front of your family. So may the Lord help us. Now, there's blood there. The blood on Calvary is still wet today. And I make a lot of mistakes. And I'm so thankful that I can go before the Lord and say, "Father, I failed you again. Please cover me with your blood. And forgive me and put it in the sea of forgetfulness to be remembered no more." Amen. So thankful for the blood of the Lord Jesus. But we see Cain here, he should have said, he should have admitted what he did. You know, and I look at even David, a man after God's own heart. And I thought, why is David a man after God's own heart? And you know the thing he did? He was so deceitful that he took another man's wife and then tried to cover it up, kill the man's wife and everything. And then you know the story and everything. And the prophet Nathan came to him and said this allegory and story about this man that had all these sheep, and he took a man's sheep, this only one he had, and took it and killed it when he had all these other sheep. And David said, "This isn't right. Who did this is going to pay." He said, "Thou art the man." What did David say? "Who? I'm the king of Israel. Bug off, Nathan." No. He admitted when he was wrong. How many of us are so stubborn we cannot admit when we're wrong? Yeah, me. That's me sometimes. But that's what David did, a man after God's own heart. He admitted what he had done wrong. Now, I don't know what you've done in your life. I don't know you that well. I've done some bad things, but I have never murdered anybody. I've never cheated on my wife like David did. Or, you know, took some other man's wife, okay? It's pretty bad. But yet he was a man after God's own heart. Because look at the Psalms. Look at the connection that he had with God.
Amen.
The first verse of the Psalms, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree." Brother Branham said a tree is a sign of a person. "He shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper."
Amen.
The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. But this was David, a man after God's own heart. Psalm 51, many of the scholars say that that was the psalm that he wrote after he committed that sin with Bathsheba. And you It says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Amen.
Cast me not away from thy presence.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. A man after God's own heart. But he could admit when he was wrong. We have the blood there and we refuse to use it. We are some of the most blessed people in the world.
Amen.
And we live below our privileges. And that's one of the privileges we have. To call on the name of Jesus. To claim his blood. Not just over our life, but over our family's life. Hallelujah. May we take access to it. May we take the sword of the Spirit and cut away the enemy from our door. Now, we wouldn't let a murderer come in our house, right? No, but we let other things come in our home. May God give us spiritual discernment to know the spirits and to realize what is inspiring us. And the world is groping in darkness. You are the only love that they see.
Amen.
People are blind. They're just like Laodicea. They're rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. You know, the prophet of God said that the three greatest pressures in this age are riches, soft living, and nervous tension. And then he goes on and says, an age that we seem unfitted to live in. Now, unfitted, you look it up, it's probably not a word, but the prophet said it. It's a good word that typifies it. An age we seem unfitted to live in. And we are. We can't, you know, we hop on a plane and we go, somebody dies, we go there and go to the funeral, come home, and we haven't even processed a grieving process to realize what happened. And we're you know, the internet and everything, it's just bang, bang, bang. We're not even fit to live in this age that we are. And Satan is, there's so media and everything coming at us in every direction. But these are spirits. Not all of them are bad spirits. No, some of them are good spirits. But we need to discern what is inspiring us. So I'm not getting very far here on my notes, but that's okay. But we need to discern and ask ourselves, how can we discern from right and wrong? Well, here, I'll read what the prophet of God said. On the message, God keeps his word. He said, now, wait a minute. Hold on. Are you ready? Inspiration. Inspiration that doesn't co-op with the Bible is wrong inspiration. Brother Branham, how can we be sure we're right? We see this coming up. We see this coming up and all these things and fantastics. Stay with the word. Sure, they was both inspired. Here was a little fellow standing by himself. He was inspired. Here were 400 fine bishops. They were inspired. Each one saying, thus saith the Lord. This is Micah, Brother Branham's talking about. But how do we know which is right? Stay with the word. Micah had the word, and he knew that evil had to be treated evil. He knew that hypocrisy, that make-belief religion, that stuff that had a lot of class to it, and a painted-up Jezebel and all these other things had to be dealt with by the hand of the living God. For the prophet, the word of God said so. You say, was the prophet God's word? Yes, sir. They'll know. In sundry times and diverse manners, the Lord spake to the fathers through the prophets in this last days through his Son, Christ Jesus. That's right. Sure it was. The word of God. There they were, inspired, thought they were right. I don't say they wasn't sincere. They were sincere. They were great men. They wasn't unlearned men. They wasn't just an overnight man. They were great men, taught in the word, inspired. But their inspiration didn't cooperate with the Bible's word. That's the reason Micah knew they were wrong. Amen.
Amen.
What did we just read in John, 1 John 4:1? Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God.
Amen.
Amen. So may the Lord help us to do that, to try the spirits, whether they have God. So, and we asked ourselves, you know, what does inspire us to wear the clothes we wear, to do the things we do, to say the things we say? It's really what spirit is within us.
Amen.
That is what inspires us. Is it the Holy Spirit or is it an unholy spirit? And off the message, God of this evil age, Brother Branham said, religious perversion, human perversion. Men don't even know what sex they belong to. Neither does women. Stand up with a pair of man's overalls on or a pair of little old shorts, clothes. That's every move and form of her body and calls herself a Christian. She's not even a lady, let alone a Christian. She's a street prostitute used by Satan, inspired by Satan, to send the sons of God to hell, to fulfill the word that Jesus Christ said, would take place. I didn't mean to say that, but he said it. Anyhow, see where this religious spirit comes from. The mixed tree. Say, what's wrong with them slacks? Or whatever they call it, pedal pushers, or what it is. The Bible said that any woman that'll wear a garment that pertains to a man, it's an abomination in the sight of God. That's thus saith the Bible. Amen. And you know, we need to be careful, because the only difference between us and the world is like the robin, Brother Branham said. It's the red breast. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus. Amen. That's the only difference. If it wasn't for that, because it's mercy that rewrote our life.
Amen.
And you know, we want to condemn somebody that's maybe dressing wrong. We need to be careful, because that spirit will try to get on you. And the internet, whatever it is, we need to be so careful. I have seen pornography destroy people's lives.
Amen.
And we need to stay away from it, because the devil is so sly and slick how he wants to deceive us. And we think we're smart. We're no match for the devil. We need the Lord's help.
Amen.
Amen. And brother, stay away from it.
Amen.
It is toxic. And it will destroy your family and destroy your life. So may the Lord help us to discern the spirits. Because we want real inspiration. How many want real inspiration?
Amen.
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 Brother Branham said this by faith, Moses, on the message in 58. He said, and many times it's been thought amongst people that's because a congregation was large and they had great churches, great steeples, and a great lot of well-dressed and groomed people and a lot of finances that they could afford such things. We many times thought that was inspiring, that this certain church must be inspired. Or we've often referred to different ministers who get out on the field and have great gatherings of crowds, and we think sometimes that they are the signs of inspiration. But that's not altogether the truth. That's human inspiration. But the real inspiration comes by doing the will of God. Amen.
Amen.
See, whether it is one or just a handful, whether it is a big church or a small church, it matters not. Whether he is a great, eloquent speaker or just a man that hardly knows his ABCs, it doesn't matter. It depends on the message that he's bringing. Whether it is inspired by the Word of God or it is inspired by intellectual conceptions of human inspiration. Some people can be inspired because of an eloquent speaker. That doesn't make it right. Sometimes they're inspired because the man is so trained that he could put his point over. That doesn't mean that it's of God, see? It's only through God's everlasting, eternal, blessed Word can we receive inspiration. And that's given by the Holy Ghost. By faith, we receive it.
Amen.
Amen. It reminds me of that scripture Paul wrote to the Romans over in chapter 10, verse 17. He said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's something I like to tell young people. There's an age limit on driving a car. Do you guys drive a car yet? You guys in the front? Do you drive a car? You drive a car. Do you have a license? Okay. You don't. He maybe drives a car, but he don't have a license. So there's an age limit on driving a car. You probably drive your daddy crazy, right? Yeah. My son drives my wife and I crazy sometimes. But we still love him, right? But there's an age limit on driving a car, an age limit on voting, an age limit on serving your country, There's an age limit. But there is no age limit on hearing God's voice.
Amen.
You can press that little arrow pointing in the right direction, and you can hear God speak to you through his prophet, Brother Branham. Stories that tell you about his word and draw you closer to him. There's no age limit on that, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So may we make sure that we're playing that in our homes. So, amen. So we want real inspiration that comes by doing the will of God. It reminds me of what Brother Branham said about Jesus at the pool of Bethesda. He walked by all those lame people and healed one man, right? Under inspiration.
Amen.
It's doing the will of God. And it only comes through God's eternal, everlasting, blessed word can we receive inspiration. That's given by the Holy Ghost. By faith, we receive it. Amen. And here's a really good quote I want to read to you. And It's two inspirations. Listen to this. This is off the Message Hear Ye Him. Now, when a man is inspired and he reads the inspired word, the two inspirations together gives a result. Now, you can never, no matter how well you study the word, it'll never do you no good till you're inspired yourself. It takes your inspiration with the word's already inspired. So what we need today is an inspiration over us. God sweeping down with a new inspiration, breathing over us His power, His love, and Himself, that it might inspire us to quicken us and make us to His Word. And then the Word being brought into that spirit of inspiration, then you'll see miracles happen. And things take place because the two just comes together. Amen. So we know the Word's inspired, but we need His inspiration to come through us. And you know, sometimes you don't feel the inspiration to read God's Word. You don't feel the inspiration to maybe listen to a tape or something. Or maybe you don't feel the inspiration to sing. Well, hey, that's when you do it anyways. Because the devil knows, he thinks he's winning. But sometimes if you apply yourself and you open God's Word, it's a sacrifice of praise. Sometimes you don't feel like coming to church. But if you come anyways, the Lord's got a blessing for you. Because that's the devil talking to you. So we need to cast him away and say, get behind me, Satan. Boo. Boo to him. Amen. So there's a lot of things that inspire us. And one of the things that can inspire you is the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. It inspires. There is power in the name. I have called on it. I have experienced it personally for myself.
Amen.
The lovely name of the Lord Jesus, it inspires. Amen. And there's, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Ever sing that song?
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. There's power in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Demons have to flee.
Amen.
And we need to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to do this. Get in the car, say, thank you, Jesus, for traveling mercies. There's power. One time, my wife and I think it was before Patrick was born, we were coming home from church, and it started snowing. It was a Wednesday night, and I don't know what happened. I lost control of the car. The car went around. I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And we wound up. Cars were coming the other way. They stopped. We got back on the road. I thought I was going to wind up in the ditch. I didn't. Thank you, Jesus. It worked. One time, I'm driving down through the road late at night. I had come home from Philadelphia. I flew in, and Jennifer stayed there one Thanksgiving, and she stayed for a little bit longer to visit with her folks. And he wasn't born yet, was he? Nope. And I was driving home in an area where a lot of deer cross, okay? And it was late at night. It was like 2 a.m. And a deer came out down a cliff, and I saw him like 3 feet in front of the car. And I hit the deer and lost control. The car flipped. I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
The car flipped. I wound upside down. And I knew a tractor trailer truck was behind me. I came to, I'm laying upside down and the windows are banged out. I crawled out of the car, blood all over my face and my shirt and everything crawled out. But if I wouldn't have said thank you, Jesus, I don't know if I'd be here today.
Amen.
But you know how people say they see their life flash before them? I did. I saw my wife, I saw my family flash before me. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. It inspires. It casts out evil spirits.
Amen.
Because there is power in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Paul, those people said, you know, we know Paul, but who are you? Those people that took the name of Jesus and were using it
Amen.
Falsely, they were casting out devils in the name of Jesus, weren't even believers. We need to take access to one of the weapons there and claim the blood of the Lord Jesus and say, thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And that's one thing the devil hates. He hates when you claim the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
It's one thing my mother taught me. My grandfather, on my mom's side, he was Loring Markwood. And Patrick has a middle name, Loring. I have the middle name, Loring. But he was a Baptist minister. And he left the Baptist church and he believed in the proper Godhead. You know, he didn't believe in three gods in the Trinity. But he never fully accepted the message. But he was a man of God, in my opinion. I loved him. And I got to know him a little bit. He lived in Texas, but he used to always tell my mom, he said, always claim the blood of Jesus. The devil hates the blood of Jesus. And you say, I claim the blood of Jesus over your family, over your life. You're in a hard spot. Just claim the blood of Jesus. Amen. Because there is power in the name of Jesus. So on the message, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever in 61, Brother Branham said, so these Greeks come up to the feast. Now the Greeks was learned people, and they came up to this feast of Pentecost to worship. And while they were at the temple, they had heard about the Lord Jesus. And somehow or another, I don't believe that there is anybody who can ever hear that lovely name called will ever but would desire to see him. When you hear of Jesus, there is something about that name of the Lord Jesus that inspires. And you can never feel the same. It's a name above all names. He came down from heaven, and the world gave him the lowest name there was on the earth. Beelzebub, a fortune teller, a devil. And he went to the lowest city there is in the earth, Jericho. And was so low till the smallest man in the city had to look down on him to see him. Zacchaeus. But when he paid the price of redemption, God gave him a name above every name. Even all the family in heaven and earth is named Jesus. And he exalted his throne so high till he has to look down to see heaven. That's the difference. The way the world treated him and the way the Father treated him when he come up. Amen. So I'm thankful that there's power in the name of Jesus. And you know something else that inspires? God's Word, God's eternal Word, it inspires. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, we read this morning, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And you know, in over in 2 Peter, let's turn there, 2 Peter, the first chapter of the second book of Peter, the first chapter and the 21st verse. 2 Peter 1:21. I'm going to read the 20th verse too. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time, but by the will of man. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. All Scripture is inspired. And that's where we get inspiration. God's Word is inspired, and it brings inspiration to us. And you know, it's not enough to be sincere. And we must be more sincere. And we must be inspired by the Word of God. And we must be sincere on the right thing. I worked with a lady when I worked at JCPenney's when I was in college at the department store. And Patricia. She liked Pat. She was a Catholic. She was one of the most sincere ladies that I know. We could take some lessons from her. She went to Mass every time the church was open. It was almost like every day, early in the morning, she went to Mass. She was sincere, but she was sincerely wrong. We need to be sincere, but we need to be sincere on the right thing. And that's because we'll get the right inspiration correctly then. So we're going to skip that one and that one. And, you know, what inspires you? We're asking ourselves this morning. Maybe it's nature. That's a wonderful thing. God is in nature. God is in his universe. And God is everywhere. And, you know, Brother Branham, he loved nature. He said it was his first Bible, was nature. You know, and his mother was half Cherokee. He was, Native American Indian Cherokee. And he loved nature, and that's how God spoke to him in many things in nature. And you know the many stories that he told. And it reminds me of the song. I don't know if you ever heard it. You laid your hand, mighty Lord, on the range. Laid your wonderful hand on the prairie. Lord, you poured forth the fountains, raised up the mountains. Oh, Lord, keep your mighty hand on me. You touched the clouds, made them rain. From the rain, made the sea. From the sea, formed the clouds to give us life abundantly. You have the earth and the sky in your command, Lord. Oh, please keep your precious hand on me. And you see it. Nature. It inspires us. And you think of seeing things, how it inspires us. And it reminds me of the story Brother Branham told about a deacon in his church. Old Brother Wiseheart took a boy fishing one time. And this boy, he said, "Mama, could anybody see God?" And she said, "Oh, I don't know, son. That's a hard question. You have to ask your Sunday school teacher." And so he went to Sunday school. He asked the Sunday school's teacher. He said, "Teacher, can I ask you a question? If God is so great, could anybody see God?" And she said, "Oh, well, I don't know. That's a tough question. You better ask the pastor." So he, after church, he went up to the pastor and he said, "Dear Reverend," he said, "God is so great. Can anybody see God?" He said, "Oh, yeah, God's so great. You just got to believe him. You can't see God. He's so great." And he was fishing with this, and it didn't satisfy him. His answer from his mother, his Sunday school teacher, the pastor, didn't satisfy him. And he's fishing with old brother Wiseheart on the 6 Mile Island, and a storm came up, and they got under some trees along the embankment there, and the storm went away, and a beautiful rainbow came out. And it inspired the old man so much that the tears started coming down his face on that white beard of his. And the boy was so moved with emotion, he rushed to him in the boat and went up to him and he said, "Brother Wiseheart," he said, "could anybody see God?" He said, "Oh, bless your heart, honey." He said, "All I've seen for the past 50 years has been God."
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the living Lord.
He had so much God in him on the inside that he could see God everywhere. Amen. And that's so true. When we get ourselves in condition in the right kind of atmosphere, we see God everywhere. We see him in our brothers and our sisters. We see the good in them. We don't start criticizing them, but we see God in nature. We see him in his creatures. We see him everywhere. So that's what I want to do, is get so much God on the inside of me that I see him everywhere. And you know, there's something about a rainbow, because it's seven colors. And colors, not six. Because you think about it, they've taken that beautiful symbol that God sent us as a promise, seven colors, and they made it six colors. And they have Pride Week and whatever they want to call it. It's perversion. It's from the pit of hell. And Satan cannot create. He only perverts what God has created. And young man, if he's made you a young man, you be a young man. If he's made you a lady, you be a lady. Don't pervert things. God intended it to be pure. But a rainbow, it's beautiful. It inspires us when you see a rainbow after a storm. You know, the sun shining and it has that prism to it. And you see a snow-capped mountain and its grandeur. It's sometimes breathtaking. When you see it, we've been in the Canadian Rockies, and it's just breathtaking, and you want to just praise the Lord.
Amen.
And a few years back, a fellow of ours got married to a girl up in Saskatchewan. Patrick was a ring bearer in his wedding, and we flew into Calgary, drove over to Banff, went up through Jasper to the Canadian Rockies. It was beautiful. It made me think of that song I just sang you. I want to sing it all the time. I've been to Switzerland. Beautiful snow-capped peaks, and I want to sing "How Great Thou Art" all the time.
Amen.
But it's true. How great Thou art, his grandeur and his splendor and the stars and the sky and the universe. He is an awesome God that we serve.
Amen.
He is wonderful.
Amen.
That's what inspires us, is the Creator. Amen.
Amen.
And you know, men sing songs that inspire them. Some are great songs, good songs that inspire you to have a closer walk with the Lord. Others sing songs that inspire them to be on a moral decline. Right? Songs inspire us too. I have a lot of quotes here. I like to carry a lot of quotes. My wife cooks for somebody. She has somebody over for supper. She always wants to have plenty of food. just in case. You never want to run out. So I always have a lot of quotes, and then I skip a lot of them, and I kind of read ones that I feel the Holy Spirit would direct us to read. But men sing songs. You know, Brother Branham, one of his favorite songs was Down from His Glory. Brother Branham said it expressed the extreme deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the man that wrote it, William Booth Cliburn, he was like a minister. And he went on revivals, and he ran out of money, and he was in a cornfield. He wasn't a farmer or anything. He was in a cornfield working, and Brother Branham said he wrote it in a cornfield, and he was so inspired. You know what he wrote it on? The leather of his shoe and the inside of his shoe, the sole of his shoe. He took them out and wrote the verses on that shoe. Down from His Glory. Beautiful song, one of Brother Branham's favorite songs. He said he wrote it by inspiration on his knees in a cornfield. Amen. So another thing that inspires us, hard preaching. That's what, I'll read this quote to you. There was a brother, he said, "Now, I took two nights of real stern, heavy preaching, and I wouldn't apologize for what I said, but it's the truth. Friends, I'm zealous for the church, and tonight, to hear this group of men, I've sat with men more in groups, but I've never sat with a nicer bunch of real believing brothers that put his arm around me coming in a few minutes ago and said, 'We appreciate that message last night.' I said, 'It was very hard.' He said, 'But it inspires us to move on too.' I got confidence in men like that." Yes, sir. Yes. When we take, if I was just saying it to be smart, then that would be wrong. I should go at the altar and get right with God. But when it's the truth, friends, then we ought to measure up to what God says. See, that's right. God knows. Amen. So hard preaching inspires. Music inspires us. The Word of God inspires us. The Holy Spirit inspires us. The name of the Lord Jesus inspires us. And I believe God's people inspire us. Amen. I get encouraged by others. Amen. They have an impact on my life. And I appreciate a body of believers here in the Philadelphia, New Jersey area this morning that want to show who they stand for. God bless you. And I like to hang around positive people. You know, Brother Branham talked about Brother and Sister Kidd. He was feeling tired and things. Then he saw Brother and Sister Kidd. They were an 80-year-old couple. He said, "I was ready to go after seeing them," because they inspired him. And you can be an inspiration. You can create an atmosphere. We are miniature creators, the prophet said. Amen. Amen. And, you know, the Word of God, through the prophet, it inspires us too. Brother Branham said, that inspiration hit perfect every time. Of those millions of diseases and sicknesses that he discerned in people, not one time did that gift fail. Not one time. That's where we can lay our confidence, because it was God's voice to us. And you know, stories inspire us. Stories of the Bible, they're inspirational. Hollywood stories, they can inspire too. The devil has his inspiration because he's trying to copy God's stories. And he changes things a little bit and perverts it. But we look down through the Bible and we see all kinds of patriarchs that got inspiration from God. And we read the oldest book in the Bible, Job. And he got such inspiration when he was caught up in that vision and he saw the Lord's coming, Brother Branham said. And he said in the 19th chapter, the 25th and 26th verse, he said, "For I know my Redeemer liveth. Amen. Though skin worms destroy me, yet in my flesh shall I see God."
Hallelujah.
Amen. We think of Moses, the great deliverer, the exodus of the children of Israel in the first exodus. We're in a third exodus. Amen. And he had delivered the children of Israel by inspiration, not by knowledge, because the Lord did more with him in 5 minutes in the presence of the burning bush than all the 50 years of training in Egypt. Amen. Under inspiration, he led the children of Israel out of Egypt. We think of Joshua right after Moses, and by inspiration, he allotted the land to the children of Israel, the 12 tribes, by inspiration, exactly how the Hebrew mothers had said under inspiration when they uttered where they would be born in their names, when they gave birth. That's how perfect the Word of God is. It matches up. Under inspiration, Joshua did it exactly where the Hebrew mothers of these patriarchs uttered in childbirth the very spot that they would settle down and be at the last day. Amen. And we think of somebody in the Bible like the Shunammite woman. She had inspiration. By inspiration, she lay her son on the bed of the prophet. That's what Brother Branham said. She laid it there by inspiration. And when she realized that this inspiration was on her, she obeyed exactly because she knowed it was the it was in harmony with the supernatural. And we know what happened. She went, saddled up a mule, went and got the prophet. The prophet came. And Brother Bram said, God don't show his prophets everything. So he came, he laid upon the child, and the child sneezed 7 times and came to life. Amen. Because his mother, under inspiration, knew to lay him on that bed to go get the prophet. Amen. I believe in prayer cloths. They work. Amen. According to Acts 19. That's what Brother Branham said. When you're not using it, put it in Acts 19 until you need it. Now, Patrick don't even know it. He has a prayer cloth pinned under the mattress of his bed ever since he's been little. He sleeps on it. So, we want to apply the blood of Jesus over him. Did you know that, son? No, he does. Look under there. Check it out. So I believe in prayer cloths.
Amen.
The prophet taught us. It's in the scripture. And the apostle Paul taught us that way. The first messenger to the first church age. We think of Isaiah the prophet. Under inspiration. 800 years. Yes, 800 years later. He said, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. His name shall be called Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. 800 years before Jesus ever came to this earth. God became a man. Emmanuel was born of a virgin, just like the prophet said. Under inspiration. We think of Nebuchadnezzar. He was inspired. He was inspired by Satan to make the furnace heat 7 times hotter than its normal heat. 7 times hotter, yet it didn't burn them on these three Hebrew children. Because, why? Because they were standing for God's word.
Amen.
And you know, some people hate you. I have had people hate me because I have a standard that I live by. Now, I believe there's a balance. We don't want to walk around acting like we're better than somebody, because we're not. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus that makes a difference. But some people, they're irritated because you won't dress like them. You won't drink with them. You know, I'm in sales and I go to different meetings and things. They get so upset that you won't drink with them. Drinking is such a bonding thing in business. You know what? I've seen so many people act so stupid and destroy their lives because they love the bottle. But you know what? We need to stand for what's right.
Amen.
And have a backbone.
Amen.
Because, you know, young person, I went to college. I played some sports, got invited to a lot of parties, never went to them. I never drank the first drop. And that's the thing. If you take one compromise one time, it's going to be easier the next time, easier the next time, and you're going to lose all your standards. But you know what? If you take a stand one time, it's going to be easier the next time, the next time, the next time, to stand for righteousness.
Amen.
So I'd encourage you, make a stand. You don't have to say, you're a hypocrite, I'm God's man. No, you just stand for what's right. You stand for him here, he'll stand for you there. Amen. So God bless you this morning. But Nebuchadnezzar, he was inspired by the devil. The wise men, we think of them. They were inspired. Brother Branham said they went out the west gate. They were inspired to go out the west gate because they went in there. Where is he born, King of the Jews? Nobody knew. Herod got a hold of it. He talked to him. Oh, what is this? And tried to deceive him. And that's why there is a bunch of dead skulls and bones in Bethlehem today from way back when he killed all babies 2 years and under. Right? We have the same problem today. People want to kill the babies and they want to put you in jail if you kill an animal. Now, I'm not against being ugly to animals, but we have lost all of our sanity because Satan has taken over and is inspiring people and has taken their minds and twisted them. So may we be able to discern the spirits to realize what is inspiring us. But they were inspired, the wise men were inspired to do what? To go out the west gate. And when they got out the west gate, that's when the star appeared again. Amen. And they rejoiced with exceeding great joy, Matthew 10:10 says, because they had saw the star again. Their gifts, the Magi, think of their gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold means deity, frankincense, service, and myrrh is death. Typified Jesus' life exactly. They were perfect gifts. And showing that deity would be put to death in flesh, that it might redeem fallen man. And that was Jesus' life. He came, God became a man, deity. He spent his whole life living for others. That's what Jesus did. That's what Brother Branham said. Eternal life is living for others. Amen. That's where you get your real joy. And then myrrh in death. Service in death. He died for you and me to redeem fallen man. And a man inspired over in Switzerland one time by the name of Arnold von Winkler. Remember that story?
Yes.
And how he died for his countrymen? Mm-hmm. He said, "You take care of my wife and my family, my son." He said, "Today I die for Switzerland." He was inspired when he said, "Brethren, this day I give my life for Switzerland." And Switzerland has not had wars. They're like a neutral country because of this great story of Arnold von Winkler that was inspired to say what he did and inspired, and they won the battle, even though they were outnumbered by tons of people. I don't know the numbers exactly, but they were. But it inspired everybody else to take courage and to defeat the enemy. Amen. And we think of the Lord Jesus when he came down off the Mount of Transfiguration and Moses and Elijah appeared and Peter got inspired and he said, "Hey, let's build two temples, one for you, one for Elijah, one for Moses." And Jesus said, "Who does men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And the disciples said, "Oh, some say you're Elias, some say you're a prophet," and stuff. But Peter, the great fisherman, said, he was inspired to say, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "In flesh and blood has not revealed this to Peter, but Christ alone. Upon this rock I'll build my church." Upon the revelation of knowing who he was. But Peter was inspired. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And I want to close here. I don't want to keep you all too long. But we need to ask ourselves, what is inspiring us? I get so upset with myself sometimes when I do things that I know are not pleasing to the Lord. And I think, "Stephen, what inspired you to do that? What was an evil spirit?" And we can cast it off and say, "In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, Satan. I have no part of this," and cut it away from ourselves. So we need to ask ourselves, what inspires you? Is it God's word? Is it his love? Is the spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost? It is his lovely people? Is it his creation? Or is it some evil spirit? But what spirit is inspiring you? So it's important that we discern the spirits. And I want to thank you all. You have inspired me this morning to go on with great courage to serve my Lord Jesus, to come and hear me, just an humble little guy from Hershey that's struggling along. I would appreciate your prayers for me and my family, because we're in this together. We're not on a picnic. We're in a battle. So I want to encourage you, like Paul said in Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So let's take the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, put on the helmet of salvation, get our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, so we can defend the enemy with the Lord's help. Amen. Because greater is he that's within
Amen.
Us than he that's in the world. Amen. Let's all stand. I want to read one more quote to you. And this is, the prophet of God said this, and I have this written on the inside of the flyleaf of my Bible. And he said on the message, the mark of the beast, he said, first the prophet goes to God and the word comes down. And he wrote it in the Bible. And now that was God's foreordained plan. The prophet saw, and he wrote it in word so that the people following would be warned of situations and things to come. See? Now here's the part I want to get. I want you to get. Now, by inspiration, that word was spoke by God. By inspiration, the prophet brought it, and by inspiration, we have to receive it. It's not material, it's not natural, it's not a natural thing. Amen. It reminds me of John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. And holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished. That's what I want. Amen. Let's sing a song.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Do you know that song, Created Me a Clean Heart, O God?
Amen.
Created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Amen. Create.